great to see everyone on a very beautiful New Year's Day. Nice start to the year. Hope you've made your resolutions out, and hope you keep them. And I've heard that they said most people break their resolutions rather quickly out there. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in Romans 13th chapter, starting in verse 8 through verse 14. Paul recommends three things that would be good to start any time of the year, whenever if you would like. But, you know, if we make the new year count, then we could start today by taking stock of our lives, what we're doing and where we're going. Dr. Paul Faulkner, in his book, Making Things Right When Things Go Wrong, wrote, "To make things right when things go wrong, make up your mind to die young, no matter how old you are. Whether you're 23 or 83, choose to be youthfully alive as long as you can." Now, he wasn't saying go out there and actually die young, but to act more like, you know, these could be your last days or my last days on this earth. And we don't know that, and we need to make the best of them that you can. Everyone remembers Douglas MacArthur and his contributions to winning World War II. He said that youth is not a time of life, it is a state of mind. You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubts, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, as old as your despair. So a lot of that deals with a person's frame of mind today. And that decision to change and make a change in our lives. And hopefully as Christians, we're always, like the song says, we're on that upward way. We're progressing towards something that's much better than what we were before. So let's go in our entire text, and we'll read that first off the bat here. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Paul offers this: "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, as any other commandment, are summed up in the word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, he's just saying if you care for other people, you're not going to do these bad things to them. Verse 10, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." Every day that goes on, we're just a little bit closer. "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And verse 13, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So, in a nutshell, Paul is telling us here that, and he was telling them back then, that they need to increase their love. We need to grow in our caring for others, and not just within the walls here, but for those outside the walls. When you care more for those outside the walls, then it's easier to make that effort to try to help them and try to bring them the gospel. He's also telling us, as he told the Romans, to wake up. Wake up to the reality of what we got. Sometimes we're complacent, we fall asleep. And we know that we're in the rest that God provides us when we become a Christian, that we don't worry like the rest of the world, but we need to wake up and not be complacent, not give in to these things. It's so easy to fall back into those things that we've done. Just in New York, the mayor invited someone who has said some very derogatory things about faith and displays a lot of bad things. Probably most of the older folks probably hadn't heard of Lady Gaga, but she's out there a lot of times spouting filth and doing, I guess, lascivious things you'd say on stage and that kind of thing to try to keep it clean this morning, but not really the most appropriate person that you would want to pick to drop the ball at midnight as they do in Times Square. Certainly someone of better character would have been a good choice there. And then he says, wear Christ as you wear your clothes. So increase your love. You know, a young college co-ed came running in tears to her father. Dad, you gave me some terrible financial advice. He said, I did. What did I tell you? You told me to put my money in that big bank. And now the big bank's in trouble. What are you talking about? That's one of the largest banks in the state, he said. There must be some mistake. I don't think so, she sniffled and she cried on. They just returned one of my checks with a note saying insufficient funds. They don't have any money there. So, a lot of people think that. You may not have experienced insufficient funds in your life, but you've experienced low funds because of food, clothing, shelter. You get one bill paid and here comes another one in the mail. They're all like weeds just coming back. You just can't keep them cut down. But I got some bad news. We're all debtor and we're all in debt. We'll always be in debt. And that sounds like bad news, but it may not be all that bad. Our greatest debt is not financial, it's spiritual. I owe you and you owe me. We owe everyone the debt of love. We owe everyone that obligation that just as Jesus loved us, that we try to love others. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love for one another. Now, loving people is still the right thing to do and the best thing to do today. It's how we show them who we are and who we follow. God wants us to love people to the day we die. You know, the New Year's time, they kind of show the cartoonists, they show the old man with the sash with the last year's number, and there's the brand new baby with the latest year on that. But at any time in our lives, we can care for others and show that caring. Love does no wrong. It makes sense. If you love someone, you're not going to harm them, just as Paul said. You're fulfilling the law. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to hurt them. You won't steal from them. You won't talk bad about them or, you know, around them. In 1 Peter 4:8, some wonderful words. In 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. So that says a lot. That's one of those things that when we show a lot of love, that covers a lot of sins there. It shows what God wants us to be. As much as we know, we're supposed to love people, and it's not always easy to do. People can offend us. People irritate us. Some people just dislike us. They do things we don't agree with, but still, we have to demonstrate that love for them. Even if we're trying to correct them in a fault, it has to be with love. It can never be with anger and malice or anything other than restoring that person, if need be, to the fold and showing them that we do care as Jesus cared for us. Then Paul told us to wake up, Romans 13:11, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. You know, we all procrastinate to a certain degree, especially the hard task in life. Our greatest procrastination may deal with the spiritual side of life. Many people know they should become a Christian or be baptized or go to church or get involved in service, but it's so easy to put off till tomorrow, the next day. Most of us wait until we have plenty of time. Who said we had plenty of time? I think the devil tries to make us feel complacent that we have all the time in the world and we have many more years ahead of us and we don't need to change just quite yet. But the time to change is now. The time to be what God wants us to be is now. And hopefully this year, in your own heart, you can set those goals for what you want to do as far as what Paul is telling us here. How much we can show love for others, can we increase that? And also wake up. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. In the book of Ephesians 5, 16 through 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And we look out there and we see, like I was saying before, the days are evil, people are getting worse, sin is more rampant, there's less faith out there. There's not a whole lot out there, but we need to make an opportunity to do what we're all capable of doing in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to procrastinate when it comes to doing His will in life. Procrastination only makes things harder, and sometimes worse, and sometimes too late. There have probably been many people who knew they should confess Christ and be baptized, but they waited too long, and death came knocking on their door. Paul said, do this, understand the present time. Do what? The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. We need to wake up and realize what we have in Jesus. Or realize what we don't have in Him because we're not in Him yet, and become that person in Him. You know, most people like their sleep and plenty of it, and some people don't like to be woke up. But we all have to wake up sometime. We all have to wake up and go to work, whether it's to feed our families or to feed our spirit. Someone once said, the best way to make your dreams come true is to wake up. Another one said, putting off in the easy things makes it hard, and putting off a hard one makes it impossible. So, I don't know if you're like me, but the hardest task that I need to do, I like to get it over with first. Get the pain over with first, and everything else just seems a little easier from that. So we need to take that advice and apply it in our lives. Paul said, wake from your slumber because salvation is near. The grand finale of salvation may be nearer than we realize. It can come anytime. We can be called anytime up to God. So we need to put off those deeds of darkness. So we have to ask ourselves, what problems do I have in life? What sins do I commit? What things I need to change in my life in order to be more spiritual? I need to learn to hate those bad things. I need to learn to avoid those bad things. I need to learn what I can do to make myself better. And thirdly this morning, he said to wear Christ. To put Christ on like our clothes. You know, the poor country preacher was really angry when he confronted his wife with a receipt for a $250 dress she had bought. How could you do this, he exclaimed. I don't know, she wailed. I was standing in the store looking at the dress, and I found myself trying it on. It was the devil that whispered to me, gee, you look great in that dress. You ought to buy it. Well, the minister said, you know how to deal with him. Just tell him, get behind me, Satan. I did, replied his wife, and he said, well, it looks good from back here, too. You know, we all get caught in temptation and things like that, and temptation leads to the birthing of sin and those kind of things. So we need to make sure we try to avoid those things in our life. Don't put yourself in a situation where you might be tempted. Don't put yourself in a situation where you might fall. And when you can't avoid some situations, know what the problem is. And know that you're going to have a strategy to cope with that and overcome that. So, dressing for the occasion could be expensive, depending on the occasion. Dressing for the occasion is important to most people, whether it's work, church, socializing, or whatever. But we need to clothe ourselves, as Romans 13:14 tells us, with Christ. Dressing on the outside is one thing, and getting dressed on the inside is another. Most of us could use a better personality, or better yet, a better character, a better person. So finish this sentence in your own mind. If I could, I would like to be like, or you know, whatever. What do you want to do this year to make yourself a little bit better Christian than you were last year? Who do you associate with most? Can people tell whose spirit has rubbed off on you? People do rub off on each other, and we can see that in society as society becomes more alive. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Bad company can produce bad habits and morals. We need to be careful who our associations are. Acts 4:13. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and John reminded people of Jesus. He had rubbed off on them, and it was a good thing for them. We need to let Jesus rub off on us. We need to let those good things flow through us. The same thing needs to happen to us. We need to clothe ourselves in with Jesus, so that people, when they look at us, they see Jesus. And everything we do in life, we can push ourselves just a little bit better for us to be able to grow as Christians. So to become clothed with Christ, again, we have to study. We have to meditate on those scriptures that we study and think about them. We have to pray, and we have to absorb that scripture and learn scripture in our lives. Make it a part of our lives so that it's central to our lives and everything we do revolves around it. And as we do, His Spirit is at work in us to produce more of Christ in us. And more of Christ in us is what we need to make the new year count. Finally, this morning, someone said, "Dying men have said, 'I am sorry, I've been an atheist, an infidel, an agnostic, a skeptic, or a sinner.' But no man has ever said on his deathbed, 'I am sorry, I've lived a Christian life.'" Make your life count this year. Love more, leave evil behind, and put on Christ in everything you do. So I think Paul gave us three things that we can hopefully not drop this year, but try to excel at, try to grow at, and, you know, help others to grow in Christ. And this wasn't so much a gospel sermon or anything like that, but we all know what we have to do to become a Christian. We have to believe in Christ, we have to obey Him, we have to have faith in Him. We have to make that confession that He is above all and that we want to follow Him. And then we have to obey Him and participate in His death, burial, and resurrection. In that watery grave of baptism where we die to ourselves, where we're buried completely, immersed, like He was immersed in the tomb, and rise up that new creature to walk in the kingdom the rest of the days of our lives. But if you have need of that, if you have need of the church in any other way, or whatever your needs may be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?